Good morning, church.
Good morning,
church.
Good morning.
A very, very happy new year to you all. On behalf of our church family here, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning. A very special welcome to those who are doing so for the first time or doing so after a long while. Today is the second Sunday in the year 2026. We want to also welcome our brothers and sisters who are following the service on Zoom and those who will be doing so by listening to the service on our church's website. After the service, we are all invited to our church hall for teas and coffees. In October 2024, when my first book was published on Intra-African Pentecostalism and the Dynamics of Power, a few Christians said the book was very academic and probably a difficult read. I know some of you have got copies and you've read it, but I decided to publish a simpler one. I'm sure you've seen that on the overhead. It's entitled Beyond the Pulpit, Theology for Everyday Life. And it's a collection of my reflections over the years. You can get copies of the book directly on Amazon. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. And our first theme, 304, still in the spirit of Advent, O little town of Bethlehem. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we come before you at the beginning of this new year, aware of times passing and grateful for your faithfulness that does not wear out or run dry. We praise you as the God who steps into our world, who meets us not in perfection, but in the waters of our humanity. At the Jordan, you revealed your heart. The heavens opened, the Spirit descended, and your voice spoke love and delight. We thank you that in baptism you have named and claimed us, washed us in grace, and called us your own. Before we achieved anything, before we proved ourselves worthy, you said, "You are mine." And yet, loving God, we confess that we have not always lived as those who remember the waters. We have misused our baptism by forgetting who we are and whose we are. We have worn the name Christian without living its meaning. We have chosen convenience over faithfulness, silence over truth, self-interest over service. We have resisted the Spirit's leading and neglected the call to justice, mercy, and humility. We confess that we have treated baptism as a past event rather than a present calling, as a tradition rather than a transformation, and as a comfort rather than a commissioning. Forgive us, O God, wash us again in your mercy. Renew in us the joy of belonging to you and restore in us the courage to live as your beloved children in the world. As this new year unfolds, help us to walk wet with grace, to listen for your voice, and to follow where your Spirit leads. Hear us now as we pray together the prayer your Son taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Our next hymn, 323, the first Noel. Beautiful singing. Well done, congregation. Children, good morning. How are you today? Good? Are you enjoying this beautiful weather? When did you go back to school?
Last week.
How is it going? Are you enjoying school? That's good. So let's begin our talk this morning with a few questions. Who loves or likes water here? You do. Oh, all of you. What form? Baths? Swimming pool? Or playing in the puddle? Which one? Swimming pool. So do you know how to swim? I don't think I can stay on water for more than 30 seconds. So you are good. So water is very good. Water is fun, right? Especially if you know how to swim. You can probably swim in some of the big rivers. We have many of them in Cameroon, but I'm not a good swimmer, so I don't venture into waters that can take me away. But water is fun, water is nice, water is a beautiful thing, not just for swimming, but also we need to drink lots of water. That's what the GPs tell us. If you want to stay healthy, you have to drink a lot of water, clean water. But there is another thing that water does, another importance of water, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. Water is used also in the church. Can anyone remember what we use water for? Holy water, yes. Holy water, yes. For baptism. Water is used for baptism. How many of you have been baptized? Been baptized? No, not yet. Okay. I'm sure you'll be baptized soon. So water is used for baptism. There is a story in the Bible about Jesus Christ, our Savior. This is Christmas, the time Jesus was born. And after Jesus was born, grew up, then he went to a certain river. Can anyone remember the name of that river? Famous river in the Bible. That's the river where Jesus was baptized. Yes. John the Baptist was the one who baptized him. Do you know the name of the river? River Jordan. I have been there. When I went to the Holy Land in 2019. It's a good experience. So Jesus went to the Jordan and he was baptized by John the Baptist. And after he was baptized, when he came out of the water, I think three things happened. We are told that the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove. And then a voice came down from heaven and the voice said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Three very important or significant things. So when we are baptized, baptism is a significant thing that happens in the church. It's a way of introducing ourselves more fully into the church. And when we are baptized, we die in our sins and we rise again with Jesus Christ. That is what baptism does to us. And when we are baptized, Jesus claims us as his own. He says, "Well done, you are my child, in whom I am well pleased." When the time will come for your baptism, this is the kind of experience that you will all have. Yes, now you are God's children. He loves you very much. But then baptism is a step further. So we are looking forward to the time when you yourselves will be baptized and you have that experience of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your church which you have founded in this place and that you graciously protected. We thank you for Christian rites, and this morning we want to thank you for baptism. We pray for those who have been baptized, remind us, O God, of the pledges we made and for the significance of our baptism. But we pray especially for our children, as young as they are, that the meaning of baptism will make sense to them, especially as they grow up. And when the time will come for them to be baptized, Father, you will continue the good work you've begun in their lives in new ways. We ask through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Our next song is "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know," is 564.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is taken from Isaiah 42, reading from verses 1 to 7. And this can be found on page 727 in the Pew Bible. Isaiah 42, reading from 1 to 7. The servant of the Lord. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. And our New Testament reading is taken from Matthew chapter 3, reading from verse 13 to 17. And this can be found on page 967 in the Pew Bible. That's Matthew chapter 3, reading from verse 13 to 17. The baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Thanks be to God for these readings from his holy work. And our next hymn is number 641, A Little Child, the Saviour Came.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we turn now to your word, quiet our restless minds and soften our guarded hearts. Send your Holy Spirit upon us, the same Spirit who descended upon Jesus at the Jordan, that these words we hear may become words that shape us. Speak to us again of who we are in you. Remind us of our baptism and call us afresh into the life you delight in. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, on this second Sunday of the year 2026, I want to reflect with you on the theme, Remembering Our Baptism, Living into God's Delight. It is the second Sunday of the new year. The Christmas lights are dimming. The leftover turkey is clinging to life in the fridge. And somewhere, one brief Brussels sprout is still rolling around a plate. We laugh because it is true. The gym memberships are swelling. Planners are being filled with noble intentions, and declarations are made with gusto. This year will be different. Eat better, rise early, save more, scroll less. And yet, here we are in January 10th. And for many, the shine has already worn off. One person quipped, I resolved to get in shape. So far, I've just gotten rounder. Friends, there is something deeply human in our annual ritual of resolutions. A yearning to renew, to reset, to reimagine ourselves. Yet, as the philosopher Søren Kierkegaard observed, it is the curse of every human being to want to begin again and again. We are both drawn to new beginnings and haunted by our inability to carry them through. G.K. Chesterton once observed that the problem with a new start is not the start, it is the self we bring into it. We begin January full of good intentions, but by the second week we realize the truth. Changing habits is hard when the heart remains the same. That is why the Christian faith does not begin with resolutions, but with baptism. Not with what we promise God, but with what God promises us. And perhaps that is why, rather than making new promises, we are better off returning to old ones. The ancient waters of baptism, where identity is gifted, not earned, and where renewal is not our achievement, but God's grace. Today, we encounter Jesus Christ standing at the Jordan River, not at the beginning of a new calendar year, but at the beginning of his public ministry. He comes to be baptized, not because he needed to repent, but because he was fully entering our human story. As he steps into the water, the very elements of earth bear witness. The heavens open. The Spirit descends. A voice speaks. It is, as Karl Barth might say, the event which interprets all other events. A moment that reveals the very heart of God and our place in that heart. Jesus' baptism is quietly radical. He who knew no sin steps into a ritual meant for sinners. John understandably hesitates. I need to be baptized by you, he says, baffled. But Jesus insists it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. In that exchange, we glimpse the beautiful mystery of divine humility. the God who stoops, the Messiah who wades into muddy waters, the Redeemer who does not stand above humanity, but enters into it. John baptizes Jesus, not in some gleaming temple, but in the Jordan River, the same river Israel crossed generations before to enter the promised land. It is as though Jesus retracts their steps, not to reclaim territory, but to reclaim purpose. His baptism is not mere symbolism. It is vocation, it is incarnation, and mission soaked and dripping with meaning. And as Jesus rises from the water, the Spirit descends like a dove, echoing the Spirit that hovered over the waters at creation. And then the voice of the Father, "This is my beloved Son in whom I delight." It is more than affirmation, it is a coronation. It is as if the heavens themselves cannot remain silent at the sight of such love made manifest. And in that moment, Isaiah's ancient prophecy whispers again through time, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit upon him." Jesus is revealed not only as God's son, but as God's servant, the one who will not cry out or break the bruised reed, but will bring justice gently, surely, and with grace. The baptism is not the end of something. It is the beginning. The water doesn't wash something away. It launches something forward. But what does all this mean for us, splashing around in our own 21st century models and resolutions? How does Jesus' baptism help us remember our own? There is an old story of a young man who inherited a vast estate from his grandfather. A certificate came with the inheritance, detailing everything that now belonged to him: lands, riches, and titles. But the young man, unsure of its significance, tucked it away in a drawer. He kept living as he always had, paycheck to paycheck, full of anxiety and lack, never claiming the riches that were already his. One day, a family friend stumbled upon the certificate and was shocked. "Do you know what this is?" he asked. "This changes everything." The young man had forgotten who he was. So many Christians live like that, unaware or unmindful of the inheritance they have in Christ. We forget our baptism. We forget that, like Jesus, we have been named and claimed, that the Spirit rests on us, that the Father delights in us, that we are not defined by how well we have stuck to our resolutions, but by the resolute grace of God. Henry Nouwen once wrote, "Spiritual identity means we are not what we do or what people say about us. We are the beloved daughters and sons of God." In baptism, that identity is announced. And in remembering baptism, that identity is reawakened. You are God's beloved, not just in theory, but in the trembling voice that spoke from heaven. You are anointed with the same Spirit that hovered over Jesus Christ. And like him, you are sent into the world to be light, to bring healing, and to offer hope. As the prophet Isaiah wrote, we are to open blind eyes, to free the captives, to carry justice, not like a sword, but like a shepherd's staff. But this is not a task for the strong or the perfect. It is the call of the baptized, those who are still wet from grace and still marked by mercy. Perhaps this year, instead of reaching for another resolution, we should reach for the waters. Not literally, but symbolically. returning in our hearts to the font, to the moment God whispered, "You are mine." Maybe you were a baby and don't remember the splash. Maybe it happened in a river or a pool, or behind a dusty curtain in a small church. But the power is not in the memory, it is in the meaning. In baptism, we are named. In baptism, we are sealed. In baptism, we are sent. So walk wet into this year. Walk with the assurance that you are loved before you achieve a single thing. Walk with the courage that comes from the Spirit resting upon you. Walk with the calling to be a servant of justice, peace, and joy. Because before you made any resolutions, God made one concerning you. "This is my child, in whom I delight, and God has not changed his mind." Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for meeting us again at the waters of grace. Remind us that we are your beloved children, named, claimed, and sent by you. As we step into this new week and this new year, help us to live into our baptism, to walk in the power of your Spirit, and to trust in your delight rather than our own efforts. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, number 555, is "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering. Faithful God, from your generous hand we have received more than we can name. Life and breath, mercy and meaning, identity and hope sealed in baptismal grace. As we bring these offerings today, we do not give to earn your favor, for you already delight in us. We give in gratitude and in trust that what is offered here will be used to serve, to heal, and to bless. Bless both gift and giver, and teach us to live generously as those who know they belong to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Let us intercede. God of the nations and the neighborhood, God of rivers and refuge, we bring before you the needs of the world you so love. We pray for a world shaken by unrest and fear, where power is contested, truth is distorted, and the vulnerable so often pay the highest price. We lift before you nations caught in cycles of conflict and instability, including the ongoing war in Ukraine, in Cameroon, and all places where violence, occupation, and injustice rob people of peace. We pray for leaders that they may choose wisdom over pride, dialogue over domination, and justice over self-interest. We hold before you regions facing political tension, misinformation, and threats of force, including parts of the Americas and elsewhere, in Iran, in Syria, and other places. And we ask that restraint, truth, and respect for human dignity may prevail. Protect civilians, strengthen peacemakers, and comfort all who live with fear and uncertainty. God of compassion, we pray for those who suffer quietly, closer to home, for the lonely, the anxious, the grieving, for those struggling with illness, financial pressure, broken relationships, or loss of direction. Speak newness into our lives, O God. Where we are tired, give rest. Where we are stuck, open a way forward. Where we are wounded, bring healing. Where we have forgotten who we are, remind us that we are your beloved children. Help us to live better lives, not perfect ones, but lives that are honest, generous, and faithful, lives that reflect your delight and offer hope to others. Send us out still marked by the waters of grace to be instruments of peace, servants of justice, and witnesses to your renewing love. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, who was baptized for us and who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our final hymn is Crown Him with Many Crowns. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen you for service unto eternal life. Amen.